Christmas is a time of hope. And last Sunday, the candle of hope in the Advent wreath was lit. The candle of hope is always the first one that we light because it expresses the anticipation of the coming of the Messiah. Today, the candle of light was lit. It is the light that dawned in the darkness that brought hope and brings hope to us even today. The prophets had foretold the Messiah's coming some 600 years earlier. And in that time, Isaiah wrote, and I invite you to read with me in unison, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Just before God expelled Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden because of their disobedience, God promised that one day in the future that he would send a Messiah. He would send one who would crush the head of our enemy, the old serpent Satan, and deliver us from the bondage and the penalty of sin. The candle of hope pictures the anticipation of the coming of the Messiah. And, Bible tells us, in the fullness of time, when all was made ready, God sent forth his Son from heaven to earth to be our Messiah and our Savior. And I invite you to read with me again in unison the part of the gospel story from Matthew. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." God formed us. Sin deformed us. Jesus can transform us. Amen? That's the hope, you see, of the gospel. The reason that we can have hope, the only reason that we can have hope of eternal life, is found in the forgiveness of sins and a right relationship with God. Picture, if you can, for a moment, how hopeless we would be if it were not for the knowledge that in Christ our sins can be and are forgiven. There is nothing that we can do to earn it. There is nothing we can do to deserve it. All we can do is receive by faith the grace and mercy and forgiveness of the Lord and become his. That's what he asks. See, our only hope is in Christ's death and resurrection that we celebrate today as well. Our only hope of forgiveness of sin is found in Christ. No, there is no other who died for us, only Jesus. No other one has conquered the grave and lives today. Someone directed me to a song that, well, we hope one of these days soon we'll introduce to you through the music team. I just want to share with you some of the words. There's a powerful turn of phrase that I love. Here's some of the words from that song. Our chains are gone. Our debt is paid. The cross has overthrown the grave. For Jesus' blood that sets us free means death to death and life for me. By the Lamb who was slain, I'm forgiven. The sinner's Savior, crown him forever. For the Lamb who was slain, he is risen. Amen? Amen. When Jesus, in the upper room, took the bread and broke it, and said to his disciples, "Take, eat, this is my body for you." And he took the cup and he said, "Drink this cup. This cup is my blood shed for you for the remission of sin, not for your sin only, but for the sins of the whole world." Well, as he shared that together, he was making very clear that he came not for a select people, but for people of every tribe and nation of the world. The Bible tells us, "Whosoever will may come." Everyone, whosoever, without respect to race, without respect to color or gender or character or rich or poor, or whether a person or where a person has been or what a person has done. And aren't you glad? It's not determined by your height. It's not determined by how you're received within society. It's not determined by your skill set. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever turns their heart toward God and calls upon him, he will not turn away or reject. Do you marvel at such grace? I do. Do you wonder at the magnitude of the love in the heart of God? I do. Never lose the wonder of that. Christmas is a wonderful reminder of that. Easter, even better. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, the hymn writer wrote, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilt. Every person must come to the place in their life when they recognize that they are a great sinner in need of a great Savior. And that apart from asking for the forgiveness of sin and receiving Jesus into one's heart by personal invitation, there is no hope of heaven. That's the message of the gospel. All may come, but they must come. Only God in Christ, through his work on the cross, through his blood shed there, is powerful enough to redeem us. Only that can save us. He has done all that is needed, except he cannot invite himself into our hearts. He waits, and he invites you, if you have not already let him into your heart, to do that. That's his invitation. That's why he came. That's the reason for the season. You and me. He came for you. He came for me. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see his face, will you this moment his grace receive? See, this is the grace that pardons and cleanses. This is the grace that is greater than all our sin. This is the grace that is our only hope and is the only hope for the world. Now, as Christian, we recognize that we are not perfect, right? Are you perfect? Neither am I. And there is no way that we will be and no way that we can be. We are not perfect. And there are times when we stand in need of his forgiveness of sin. We don't always walk with him as we ought to. Now, I need to correct something for those of you who were here 2 weeks ago. In that message about passing the salt and how God has called us to be the salt of the earth, I mentioned something about my buddies in high school putting sugar in the salt shaker or vice versa. And I heard a comment coming from down here somewhere and about my buddies. And I thought I heard that person questioning that whether I had buddies. And I thought that was pretty funny, and that's why I made a comment about it and had a little chuckle. But that person at the door, who will remain anonymous, told me that the comment was actually questioning whether or not it was me playing the tricks on my buddies. Well, if I were an American, I would plead the Fifth Amendment. and that is the right not to incriminate myself, and I'll let you take it from there. But suffice it to say that I could be a real rascal, and often was. Have you ever needed a great forgiveness? Have you needed to go to God and to seek His forgiveness for something? Of course you have. Ty, in his message, quoted, I can't remember who it was that wrote it, until sin becomes bitter.
Thomas Watson.
Thomas Watson. Until sin becomes bitter, Christ cannot be sweet. Sin is what the Bible says it is, folks, not what the world says you can do. But after that time of need and you sought God's forgiveness for whatever it was, here's my next question. How many times did you wonder if God had actually forgiven you? So that's part of the human nature. And that's part of what Satan wants to do. Perhaps at some point you convinced yourself that your sin was too much for God, that you had really messed up too much for Him to forgive, and that He had turned His back on you, and He had not really forgiven you. Hear me when I say this. These are lies from the very pit of hell. If you have brought it to Jesus, and you have confessed that sin, it's under the blood. Because when we confess our sins to God and turn away from them, He will forgive our sin and cleanse us from the desire to continue in it. It may be a process. It may take some time. But if you let God do His work, that's where He will bring you to. See, God cannot be fooled, too. This special note, He knows the heart. He knows the difference between the one who just wants to wipe the record clean up to the moment and has no intention of turning away from their sin. He knows the difference between that individual and the one who is truly seeking forgiveness and wants to turn away from sin. But hear me when I say this. His forgiveness is complete and for all time and for all of eternity. Amen? Amen. If He doesn't remember it, why do you, if that's going on in your life? As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our sin from us. See, if Satan is bringing to your memory old sins that have been confessed and repented of, trying to convince you that they're still on your record, tell him, here's what you say to Satan. Get behind me, Satan. My sins are under the blood of Christ, and my sins are gone in capital letters. G-O-N-E, gone. If it's a sin that you haven't confessed to the Lord and sought His forgiveness for, then I admonish you today, don't waste any time. Make it right. Make it right today, even as we prepare to come to the table of communion. If you need to seek the forgiveness of another and make something right, go do it. Go do it. Don't waste any more time. Don't procrastinate on that one. It's a burden you'll be glad to be rid of. It's weighing you down, and it's probably weighing you down in ways that you don't even realize. And when you let it go, you'll feel like you've been let out of jail because Jesus came to set the prisoner free, and you'll be set free. God's word is very clear. That God is willing and able to forgive us all of our sins and transgressions. Now, do you know what transgressions means? Do you remember Tiger Woods? Who doesn't remember Tiger Woods? Do you remember a number of years ago, I don't know how many years ago, when it came to light that he had really messed up? Lost his marriage and family and et cetera, et cetera. It took him years to get back to where he is today. You know, he used the word transgressions. Do you remember that? He used the word transgressions. Do you know that for the next 2 days, that was the most Googled word? Because the world doesn't know what it means. Deliberate, premeditated sin. God is able to forgive us all of our sins. Matthew 1:21 that was read for us earlier, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Let's read it together. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. See, you and me, we are the reason that Jesus came. so that this could be you if it isn't already. So here then is hope. Hope. Sins forgiven and set free from the burden of sin, set free from its penalty, set free from its power. That's temptation in our lives. Oh, that doesn't mean we're never tempted. It just means we have the power to say no. Right? Right? It's not our power, really. It's His power. It's there. Okay? The Christian does not have to say yes to sin. There used to be a television show where I think the favorite byline on there was, "The devil made me do it." Well, he would like to encourage you, but as a Christian, you don't have to. See, when Christ lives in us, we have new life in Him, and we are recipients of His grace. Ravi Zacharias, I came across this, it's so good. Let me read it for you. The Christian faith, simply stated, reminds us that our fundamental problem is not moral. Rather, our fundamental problem is spiritual. It is not just that we're immoral, but that a moral life alone cannot bridge what separates us from God. Herein lies the cardinal difference between the moralizing religions and Jesus' offer to us. Jesus does not offer to make bad people good, but to make dead people alive. Amen? Amen. This is hope. Only Jesus can give this hope. Hope then. Hope in the everyday affairs of our lives when you need to know His leading and His guidance in your life. Here's the Christian life summed up in a few verses. Read them with me. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and following for those who are listening in on the internet. Let's read it together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Hope. Hope in times of great anxiety. You know, we live in a world where I think anxiety is probably the number one problem in our world today. People have lost hope and are losing hope because they're forgetting where to find it. I read a statistic not too long ago that the average 10-year-old in school today faces more anxiety every day than a 1960s psychiatric ward patient. That's how our world has changed. Philippians chapter 4, verses 5, the last part, verse 5 on through verse 7. Let's read it with me. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Hope. Hope in the turmoils and the upsets of life and the unexpected things that happen. John chapter 14, verse 27, words of Jesus. Let's read them. Peace I leave with you. Read it with me. It's not there? Oh. I must have took a cat nap at that point. I told you I wasn't perfect. Don't let my wife hear that. John chapter 14, verse 27. Hear these words of Jesus to you. Peace I leave with you. Are you in turmoil? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. Amen? Hope. Hope because we know that Jesus cares. He cares about everything that's happening in your life. He cares about everything that's happening in my life. Hymn writer wrote these words. I love these words. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained? Too deeply for mirth and song? as the burdens press and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. My heart is his heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Those are good words when you put your head on your pillow at night. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. Hope. Hope. Hope in the midst of a world that has lost its way and all seems hopeless. He is our hope. You know, folks, the world will go its way, but we will go his way. Amen? Because we know where our hope is. And hope that when we come to die, that we are safe in his hands, and in a few moments, we will be home at last and safe with him. Because heaven is home for the believer. It's something that when we come to our deathbed, we can anticipate that moment with joy and anticipation. But we never know when. We never know when. Ruth Perks's family had no expectation that she would be called to heaven when she did. She was making arrangements. She was testing out the Barrington. And they had made her, they were just about to sign on the dotted line. She'd been there for a few weeks, about to sign on the dotted line that she would be able to be at the Barrington, just assisted living, not a nursing home at all. And then just in a matter of a couple of days, she just took a turn and went off to glory. And then, one of our farmer friends, in Oral. Some of you will know the name, Scott Jeremy, 57 years old. Dairy farmer, young, strong, on township council, went to bed at night, expecting to get up in the morning. Unknown to him, there was a virus attacking his heart. And in the wee hours of the night, at some point, his heart stopped because of that, and he went off to heaven. You don't know when. 2 weeks ago, on Sunday morning, a friend of ours, Herb Black, was over here in RVH. Herb and Helen were here for our induction service. They were here for our grand opening, and I have a little John Deere tractor on my table that he gave me that day. On one occasion, they brought a little lamb, and I think Rob Fisher was part of this. They brought one of their little lambs to help us tell the story of the Lamb of God who came into the world. While we were in the service that Sunday, 2 weeks ago, God called Herb home to heaven. Herb's daughter, Heather, told Joan and I at his funeral that he was so peaceful and so looking forward to heaven and seeing Jesus. Heather told us that she said to him, she said, you know, Dad, today's the Lord's day. It's a perfect day to go home, and it's okay if you do. And she said, I kid you not. One breath later, he was in heaven, home. See, here's our hope. Hope that we are safe in the hollow of his hand. We are safe in the hollow of his hand in life, and we're safe in the hollow of his hand in death. That he keeps safe his own, and that he brings us safely home to heaven.